A reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vedavyas Vrindavan Das Thakur. This is chapter 13, Deliverance of Jagai and Madai. There was a humorous conversation we were discussing yesterday between Nityananda and Advaita. They were all, after the chanting, the ecstatic kirtan in Srivas Thakur's house, and everybody went to the Ganga in the middle of the night, about 10 o'clock at night, to bathe in Ganga. When they're there, they start splashing water on one another and playing. And then Nityananda defeated Advaita. He splashed so much water in his face that he couldn't see properly. And Advaita said, "Listen, Nityananda's made me deaf and blind. I can't see." And Shiva responded, "He's at fault also because he's allowing Nityananda to stay in his house. He doesn't realize by keeping Nityananda in his house that he's lost his caste. Because Nityananda's a drunkard and he's so fallen, he's such an avadut that he's really contaminated the house of Srivas." And then he says that although Sachinandan could do so much, he's not doing anything. He actually enjoys the company of this avadut. And then Nityananda replied, "We heard that." He says, "Don't you feel embarrassed to speak like this? You have been defeated, so what is the use of quarreling? You have been defeated in the water fight, Advaita, yet you don't feel ashamed. Moreover, you approach me to quarrel with your head held high. We read that yesterday. Gaurachandra Balayeka Bhade Nahijani. Tina Bara Haile Se Harajita Mani. Gaurachandra said, "One time doesn't count. Winning and losing is decided after three fights." Well, this is basic, best of three. So they had one water fight, and Nityananda won, and he defeated Advaita. And then Gaurachandra replied, "Well, that's all right. You only won one fight. You have to have two more to decide who is the champion." Arabhara Jalad Yuda. Advaita Nitai, Kutuka Lagia Eka Dehaduitani. Again, Advaita and Nityananda engaged in water fighting in the Ganga. Although they are one, for the purpose of fighting they have become two. Dui Jane Jala Juda, Keha Nahipare, Eka Bara Jine Keha, Harabhara Hare. In their water fight, neither could defeat the other. One time Nityananda won, and the next time Advaita won. Arabhara Nityananda Sambrama Paya Dilena Nayana Jala Nirgata Kariya. With renewed enthusiasm, Nityananda forcibly splashed water in Advaita's eyes again. He did it before, now he's doing it again. Advaita Paya Duka Bale Mataliya Sanyasina Haya Kabu Brahmana Vadiya. Advaita became distressed. Paya Duka became unhappy and distressed. And he said, "You are intoxicated. You can never become a sannyasi by killing a Brahmin." So Advaita is insinuating that this barrage of water that Nityananda has thrown upon him is actually killing him. He's performing Brahmanvad. So when Nityananda forcefully splashed water, Advaita Prabhu was hurt, and he said, "You certainly cannot become a sannyasi by killing a Brahmin out of intoxication." Paschimara ghare ghare kahiyache bhat kula janma jatikeha na jane kothata. You have eaten in the homes of the people from the west. No one knows about your family birth or caste. So he ate in some Videshi's homes. It says, Nityananda, you've eaten in the homes of the people in the west. Paschimara. Because now, where are they located? They're located in Bengal, West Bengal, East Bengal. It's on the eastern side of India. And Nityananda had toured all over India, like Balaram toured. And Nityananda was also on the western side of India. So basically it's saying, you have eaten in the homes of people from UP. That's the western side. That's west of Bengal. You've been to UP or Uttar Pradesh, Ayodhya, Allahabad, Vrindavan, Mathura. And you've eaten in various people's homes there. And because of that, we don't know. What is your birth? Jati, kula janma jati. No one knows. Are you a Brahmin? Are you avadut? Are you a coward boy? You're a ghosh or a gwal? What are you? Pita mata guru nahi jani jeki rup kaya pari sakala balaya avadut. This is... And wait is going on. In his distressed and unhappy condition at being defeated again by Nityananda, and wait is rebuking and giving some harsh words to Nityananda. Pita mata guru nahi jani ki rup. No one knows who your father is, your mother, or your spiritual master. You eat everything. Kaya pari sakala bhalaya avadut. You eat everything, you wear everything, and yet you advertise yourself as an avadut. We have no information about your father and mother or what kind of spiritual master you have accepted. You are passing as an avadut and accepting food and charity from anyone and everyone. Of course, this is told in the next purport. Nityananda pratistava karevya yapadeshe shuni Nityananda prabhu gana sahahase. As Advaita was indirectly glorifying Nityananda on the pretext of criticizing him, Nityananda Prabhu and his associates laughed. So, actually, these are all praises. That Nityananda has no father, mother, spiritual master, because he's the father of everyone. Nityananda means Balaram. Balaram means Purushavatar. And all living entities come from him. Like, who's the mother of Brahma? There isn't any mother of Brahma. He's created by Vishnu. Vishnu is Nityananda, Balaram, his expansion. So he has no mother, father. For Leela, he adopts in this Leela, he takes Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. They pose as his mother and father. He doesn't require them for his appearance. You eat everything and wear everything and advertising yourself. Because... This is glorification. You eat everything. Because everything is digested by Jataragni. Jataragni is a fire of digestion in everyone's stomach. So everything is consumed. Everything that we eat is consumed and digested by Vishnu. The Vishnu avatar residing in the stomach is Jataragni. Krishna says in Gita, I am the fire of digestion. So that's, he's eating everything. So Nityananda and all his associates are laughing. They thought this is... So-called criticism was just all. It was called jest. It was all in jest. Samharimu sakala mohara doshanai etabali krode dwale acharya gosai. Advaita Gosai burned with anger as he exclaimed, "It will not be my fault when I destroy everyone." Acharya krode hase bhagavata gan krode tatvakahe jena shuni kuvachan. Seeing Advaitacharya's anger, all the devotees laughed. In anger, he actually spoke the truth, which appeared as harsh words. Hena rasa kalahera marma nabujiya bina gyane ninde bande semare podia. Without understanding the purport of such loving quarrels, rasa kalahera, if someone considering them different from each other criticizes one and glorifies the other, he will be burned to death. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that foolish people cannot understand the love quarrels of Advaita and Nityananda. So if one, out of misunderstanding, criticizes one or the other, then he'll be burned to death in the forest fire of offense. Well, this is what the spiritual master liberates us from, the Dhavanala. Samsara Dhavanala Lida Loka. The afflictions and the harassment of the Lida. The afflictions and harassments of the cycle of birth and death, which is compared to a conflagration, a huge uncontrolled forest fire. Dhavanala. Just like Krishna, there's a place called Dhavanala Kund in Vrindavan. And Krishna, after he vanquished Kaliya, then They were sleeping there at night, all the Brijvasis, and also the Barsana Walis were there. Barsani Wali Radhe, Shirade Radhe Radhe. So Barsani Wali Radha was there. And this is all during Krishna's Purva Rag, Leela, with Radharani and the gopis. There was no rasa dance yet. There was no Jewel and Banvihar and so many wonderful pastimes that came later. But this Kaliya Leela comes much before the Rasa Leela, Rasa Panchadaya in 10th canto. And that night was the first night where Krishna ever spent with the gopis. Of course, they were all with their mothers and fathers. All the fathers were there. It was a pajama party with all the mothers and fathers. Imagine a pajama party, usually a bunch of girls go and maybe some boys drop in. So. But imagine going to a pajama party with all young boys and maybe girls. And then mothers and fathers also. So they're all sleeping on the bank of the Jamuna. And then one of the associates of Kaliya manifested there as a forest fire. And then and it was a very interesting description, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, that all the elders fell fast asleep because they were tired. It was quite a leela with this Kaliya. They were so distressed. But Krishna was wide awake. He couldn't sleep at all. And because right nearby, they're all sleeping on the banks of the Yamuna because they're coward people. They're used to sleeping in the open air. They don't need to sleep in a penthouse on a fancy queen bed. They're gwals. They go out with the cows and they sleep with the cows. The cows go to sleep under the banyan tree and so do the coward boys. And the gopis, sometimes they pick flowers, they get tired, they just go to sleep. You know, the village people. There's no hard and fast rules for eating and sleeping. It's a free movement of their loving exchange. There's no inhibitions, there's no limitations. So while all the elders were sleeping tightly on the banks of the Yamuna, and then the gopis were sitting up and looking, glancing towards Krishna, and Krishna was glancing towards the gopis, especially Krishna was looking towards Radharani. And they were just casting glances across the heads and bodies of their mothers and fathers, because they're all sleeping in mass on the banks of the Yamuna. It was open seating, no fixed seats. Everyone was just sleeping here and there. It was a collective gathering. It wasn't private rooms. Not, like if you go to Nanda Maharaj's palace or Vrishabhanu's palace, there's a private room for Nanga Manjari and another bedroom for Radharani and another bedroom for Sridham. And curiously enough, there's also a bedroom in Radharani's, an official bedroom in Radharani's house for Krishna. Because he comes here every Radhastami to celebrate her birthday party. As you often go to your in-laws and relatives' house to celebrate your cousin's birthday party or whatever. So now they're officially invited, and they spend two or three days celebrating Radharani's birthday every year. And Krishna needs a place to sleep, so he has a bedroom. But by some coincidence, Krishna's bedroom happens to be adjoining Radharani's bedroom. Now, I don't know if it's like most hotels, they often have adjoining rooms with outside in the hallway, there's two separate doors. But inside, they're connected by a same door. So that may be the situation there. It's not clear. But at any rate, this Davanala was this forest fire. And it was very interesting the way Kavi Karnapur describes it. The gopis, Radharani's looking at Krishna, and this was the moment they've been waiting for since they were growing up to be somewhat alone together, but not really alone, because there's innumerable chaperones there in the form of their mothers and fathers and uncles and aunts and mamas and masis and all that stuff. But they were really relishing, and so much expression back and forth between their eyes and hearts. And then when they were really getting very excited about glancing at each other in the middle of the night, then one of the sentinels, one of the guards, yelled out, "Fire, fire!" And so then, and actually there was already a fire going on. There was a huge fire burning in the heart of Radharani and a huge fire burning in the heart of Krishna. But no one knew about that except Krishna knew about Radharani's fire. And Radharani knew about Krishna's fire, and that the blaze of their fire was being expressed through their eyes. And then one of the guards, he saw this forest fire coming, surrounding them, and then he yelled, everybody woke up, and everyone scattered, and and that was the end of that scene closed, and then the gopis, what a wonderful moment, and when will that moment come again? So it wasn't for a long time until they met again. Or the Rasa dance. So this is the Davanala that we're burning in the forest fire. So this is the Guru liberates us from this forest fire by Ganagatvam, by bringing the cloud burst of mercy, by bringing an umbrella. The Guru brings an umbrella and places it over our heads. Ganagatvam, right? It says that Samsara Davanali Loka Chanaya Karanya Ganagatvam. It's an umbrella, it's a cloud, it's a rain cloud of mercy, of karuna, compassion. And actually that rain cloud is that guru, when a guru accepts disciple, he puts an umbrella, chata, over everyone's head. And that umbrella has a name. And that name of that umbrella is Ganasham. Like Ganagatvam. Gana means thick. Gana, like we say, Ganaras, thick. Thick with sweetness, shelter, protection. Ganasham Radhe Radhe. Right? Nikunja Mevi Radhe. Ganasham Radhe Radhe. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, if someone offends Nityananda because he sides with Advaita and says, what is this? Nityananda is offending my Advaita. Then he will burn in the fire of Vaishnava Parad. It's a forest fire. He says, the forest fire of Vaishnava Parad. So this is, as we mentioned yesterday, one lady asked a question about the difference between Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat is so much emphasizing this point of Vaishnava Parad. And how careful we should be and not pass judgment. It's very difficult. It's practically impossible to understand the exchanges and the movements of the Lord and the Lords, the Teen Prabhu, Nityananda relating with Advaita and with Gadadhar and Gauranga. Very difficult to understand what to speak of past judgment. And in the same way, it's also very difficult to understand the actions of devotees, although we're very carefree and careless about passing judgment upon one another. And oftentimes the reaction is severe. So better the American, there's one American phrase that would be very nice if this could be introduced in a very broad scale in ISKCON. I call it the myobe. Myobe principle. Myobe principle. If this could be spread around ISKCON. Mind your own business. Myobe, the myobe principle. So what is my business? What is my business? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Radha Krishna Smaranam. All right? What more? But then your business becomes my business. Like I have a shoe store and you have a clothing store. So then one day I walk into your store and say, listen, I'm going to run your store today. Hey, wait, go run your own store. I'm running my store. No, you're busy. You don't know what you're doing over here. You don't know how to sell clothing. I can show you, teach you a few things. You just sit back. So no, you get lost. You run your own shop. Well, when it comes to devotees, we're so keen to drive other people's cars. Let everyone drive their own cars. If you can be loving and guiding and helpful, then contribute. If you can contribute your love and your guidance and your tolerance and your sympathy and your empathy, then contribute it widely and extensively. But if it's simply an expression of envy or a competition, then keep it to yourself or keep it to ourselves. So one should be so busy, in other words, one should be so busy running his own shop and making sales. He has no time to go run somebody else's shop. Really, isn't it? Look, someone says, "Hey, come run my shop." I'm busy. So many customers I have here. I'm busy stocking shelves and selling and packaging. You do your own thing. So this is devotees. We should be nishtita and bhakti. There's no room. I have no time to deal with somebody else and get involved with somebody else. So in this way, if we're actually busy in Krishna consciousness, then we're cool-headed. We're not burning ourselves. So because our heads are not burning ourselves, then we won't burn anyone else. And burning someone else means to make Vaishnava aparad. We only burn someone else when we're burning ourselves. Misery likes company. But if our mind is cool and our mind is fixed, Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayar, if our mind is fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna and Radha, then it's cool. We're peaceful, shant. So someone is doing this or that or does something to us, okay, Haribol, Hare Krishna. It's like the story of Kardama Muni. He was prepared to give it, this is the third canto of Bhagavatam, when Swayambhuva Mana came to meet him and request him to populate the universe. And he was a vairagi, sadhu, great personality, Kardama Muni. And when Swayambhuva Mana arrived there, then he greeted him, he offered obeisances to him, understanding his exalted position in terms of consciousness and spiritual development. He's one of the Manus. But his service was to populate the universe, and he wanted to engage Kardama Muni and to assist him in that service. So when Swayambhuva Mana arrived, Kardama Muni offered all obeisances, and then he offered himself, and he said, "I don't know why you have come, but for whatever purpose you have come, or whatever your desire is, I am ready to fulfill whatever your desire is. I'm prepared to sacrifice everything I have for your pleasure and for your satisfaction." He didn't even ask what was the proposal, or what's on your mind, or what's up, or why you came. He simply, "I'm ready." And why? Because he was detached. Why was he so detached and not concerned or fearful about the outcome or the possibilities of what he may request? Because he was attached to Krishna. He was attached to Krishna. And then Swayambhuva Mana, he says, "Well, guess what? I want you to marry my daughter and this and that, Devahuti." And so he didn't think, "Well, wait a minute, I'm a vairagi and I'm attached to my sadhana, my austerities." Because usually if someone approaches us, they want something. And they say, "Listen, I want to ask your favor." And we say, "All right, well, run it by me. Run your request by me. Present your request or your desire and let me consider it and I'll get back to you in a few days." Now when someone comes to us, we don't say, "Daso smi, I surrender unto you unequivocally and without reservation. You've come to me. Whatever you want, I will give you." We say, "Yes, I want your, can you do some favor for me?" "Okay, what is that?" "Well, can you do this, that?" "Oh, yeah, well, let me think about it." Then you think and don't do it. You think yourself right out of it. Because we're fearful. I may lose something, or he may gain something from me, or I may lose something that I'm attached to. But no one can take Krishna from us. Because Krishna is a chuta. He never falls away from our heart. Once Krishna occupies the heart, he never leaves. But if we welcome him, we say, "Swagatam, swagatam." So if we welcome Krishna, then he sits in the heart. So this is a wonderful dialogue. Who can understand what's going on? But it's certainly interesting to know that the spiritual world is full of variety. Nityananda Gora Chanda Jare Kripa Kare Sehise Vaishnava Vakya Bhuji Bhare Pare. Only one who is favored by Nityananda and Gaurachandra can understand the words of the Vaishnavas. Se Katakshane Dui Mahakutuhali Nityananda Advaite Haila Kolakuli. After Nityananda and Advaita engaged in ecstatic pastimes for some time, they embraced each other. Now, this is the difference between Krodha in the spiritual world and Krodha in this world. If we become Krodha or angry, then it can accelerate and increase to such an extent that we murder someone or finish them or somehow deride them or divide them or deride them, divide them or banish them somehow from our circle of friendship or from our lives. But in the spiritual world, the so-called anger, it's all just manifestations of love. Man and jealousy and anger. These things are deleterious. These are negative qualities in the material world and material dealings. But Radharani, we say man is a type of, man means pride or self-conceit or pride, or sometimes it's translated as jealousy. That Radharani has man for, because Krishna came late to meet her in the Sanket Kunj, because he was engaged with another loving gopi. And who are those other loving gopis? They're nothing but Radharani's Kaya Vyuha, Radharani's expansions. So Krishna was with another aspect of Radharani. So it's like if, you know, if the father is, he has three children, if he's his one son or the other son, they're all his sons. But if someone feels envious, oh, I'm envious, you were with this son or that son, but they're all his sons. So all the gopis are actually Radharani. But she displays, oh, I'm jealous, you were with Chandravali, why is that? It's only her. It's just her expansion. So it's for Leela, because it gives Krishna a chance to see Radharani in this mood of opposition, or contrary mood. And her face looks a certain way, and she's not smiling, she doesn't look friendly, she looks angry, she looks insulted, she looks disturbed. And that gives some pleasure to Krishna. And then he is man bhanga, he has to break her man. And then Radharani, if that gives pleasure to Krishna, then she displays her man only to give pleasure to Krishna. So here they have this all this chastising after the water fight and rebuking, and then, okay, then they embrace. Kiss and make up, as they say. Husbands and wives, they quarrel and fight. Prabhupada said in Grihastha life, because most of the world, of course, people are married. Husbands and wives, they often argue over whatever, different points. And then Prabhupada said that arguments in married life are like thunder without lightning. In the monsoon season, there's this rumbling of the clouds, we call thunder, and thunderbolt. There's lightning bolt, is this electric, vast, powerful electricity. There's lightning, vajra, they say. And then it hits a building, it can crack the building, it can start a fire, and start a forest fire. It's very powerful and dangerous, lightning bolts. But rumbling of clouds, what is that? It just sounds like nothing. Boom, 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 boom. Sounds like some dundubi or kettle drum. Boom, 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 boom. So there's you this, you that, you that, you this, that, this, that. So husbands and wives are grumbling and rumbling at each other. Well, there's no lightning bolts, usually. So at Advaita Nityananda, we're rumbling and grumbling. But there's no lightning bolts. At all end, they kissed and made up. They embraced, and it was just another feature. And why this was all going on, all the associates, the Dwarasa Gopal, Kamalakara people, and Subal and Sridham, and all the different associates in Nityananda, and their gaur roops, who were also coward boys, Aviram Thakur, etc. They were laughing. They were just laughing at the whole exchange. It was nothing serious. It was just a flavor of love.
Mahamata Dui Prabhu Gora Chandarasi Sakala Gangara Maje Nityananda Hase.
The two Prabhus, Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda, were greatly intoxicated with the mellows of love for Gaurachandra. Thereafter, Nityananda floated around in the waters of the Ganga.
Hena mate jala keli kirtanera shesh pratiratri sabalana kari Prabhu rase.
In this way, Mahaprabhu and his associates engaged every night in water sports after kirtan. It's extraordinary. These leelas, this party is like non-stop. Talk about one day a year, everybody gets fired up on New Year's. And I suppose this is the big night. New Year's. But in Gaur Lila, Krishna Lila, every night's a party. Every day is a party. Every afternoon is a party. We have Sankirtan party. We have this term. Oh, are you going on the Sankirtan party? At least we say in English. Yes, yes, I'm going out on the Sankirtan party. It's a party. We're dancing. We're distributing prasadam. We eat a bunch of prasadam before we go out. So we feel good. When Prabhupada started ISKCON, he kept a jar by the front door, bartan, glass bartan, a jar. And inside that jar were bullets, but not the kind they use here in Bombay. They use some very bad kind of bullets here in Bombay, very dangerous type. But these are called ISKCON bullets, also commonly known as gulab jamuns. And they're not pointed. They don't sting, and they don't hurt, and they don't burn. They're round. They're goalies. Nice goalies. They melt in your mouth. And your heart also. They melt in your mouth, and they melt your heart. So before the devotees would go on the Sankirtan party, if party means dancing, party means singing, and party means chuck-a-chuck. Pait bolo anande. Bhaje Radha Govinde. Pate, this is Pate, right? Downstairs department, ground floor. Pate bole. Bole means full. When your stomach is full, then you can worship Radha Govinda. Pate bolo anande bhaje Radha Govinde. So Prabhupada knew the formula. This is an ancient Indian formula. So when he was sending the devotees out on a Sankirtan party, they were dancing, they were chanting, but they had to have something to eat. So on the way out the door, they'd open the glass jar by the front door of Matchless Gifts and stick their hand in, pop in a few gulab jamuns. It makes a very rasa-filled kirtan. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu, they're always having a party. And this kirtan, the kirtan ended about 11 o'clock at night, 11:30, 12. They were tired, fatigued, so they went to the Ganga. No one said, hey, it's midnight. We can't bathe in Ganga in the midnight. There's all kinds of yamas and niyamas about bathing. There's so many negative creatures in the water. If you read the Puranas, it says don't bathe after sunset. Especially in Amavasya or these different tithis. It's dangerous. Because there's the gross reality that we live in, but there's a whole other subtle reality. Prates and boots and pishachas and all these entities on the subtle plane. And that's their time. What is night for all men is a time of awakening for boots, prates, and pishachas. So when we rest at sunset, they come alive. We have our 12 hours, they have their 12 hours. There's 12 hours for the gross beings, and there's 12 hours for the subtle beings. So therefore, if one bathes at midnight, it's very dangerous in a river or lake. He can become ghostly haunted. He can have difficulties. So the Puranas, they enjoin, they instruct one, don't do it. Don't bathe after sunset. But Mahaprabhu is bathing at midnight. He's having not only bathing, but and having water splashing contests. I don't know how they would see each other, but I guess they saw each other by Atma Jyoti, the light of the soul. Their own Brahman, they're all Brahmins, right? So they have what is called Brahman Tejas, the power, the Tej, of course that refers to Vidya and Paravidya, the power of knowledge that Brahmins possess, that's their wealth. Tapabalam, the strength of tapasya, and Vidyabalam, strength of knowledge and austerity, and that way they light up the world. They light up the world and light up society. And because of the volume of light that they've consumed, their bodies also emanate light, so they're very effulgent, pure Brahmins. So I guess we would think that on the strength of their own inborn effulgence, they were able to see each other in the dark. Oh, there you are, Pandit. Oh, there you are, Gadadhar Pandit. And Jagannath Pandit, and Gangadas Pandit, and Srivas Pandit. They're all Pandits. They're all Brahmins. It's all Brahmins. You see how different Leelas, different Varnas are represented. Right? So in Ram Leela, everyone's Kshatriya. In Krishna Lila, everyone's Gwal,
Vaisha, Abira,
Abira, cow tenders, Goshas. And then this Gaura Lila is Brahmins. And Kalki's Lila, everyone's Shudra. Right, Kalki. Kalki's he's the leader of the Shudras. So now the Shudras are having a good time. The Shudras are running the show. So then Kalki, when he's finished, he's had enough of their show, then he'll send them off the stage. Because actually the world's being run by Shudras right now. That's the problem. So they're bathing. This is their party at night. Every night they bathe in midnight in Ganga. Sometimes people say, oh, can we bathe in Radhakund? We're doing nighttime parikrama. Can we bathe in Radhakund at night? I say, yeah, why not? This is transcendental. Just like some people, they say, we're on a yogurt fast. Chaturmasi, we're on a yogurt fast. We can't take Charanamrita because it's yogurt. Acha, it's yogurt. Charanamrita is yogurt. I thought it was Amrit. It's Charanamrit. It is not. It is divya. It is alokik. It is nothing. It is no. What it once was, it is no more. It started as yogurt, but once it contacts Krishna, it becomes transcendental. It's not violating the principles. Of course, we don't drink liters and liters of Charanamrita. Teen bindu is enough. One bindu for the past, one bindu for the present, and one for the future. The three drops of Charanamrita, then you're free. No more debts. Radha Krishna Padodakam, Prema Bhakti Damuda, Bhakti Bharina Bhai Pitva Shirasaradharahamiham. This is the mantra for taking Charanamrita and Ragmarg. We don't serve, they say, serve Vyadi Vinashanam, Akalamrti Haranam. Our devotees are already beyond time. Devotees are beyond time and disease. That all affects the body, and we're living on the spiritual plane. Radha Krishna Padodakam, Prema Bhakti Damoda, Bhakti Bharina Bhai Pitva, Shirasaradharahamyam. Last line is the same. Shirasaradharahamyam. I'm taking this Charanamrita from the Lord, and it's going to destroy all my diseases and prevent me from untimely death. Akala Mrityu Haranam, Sarva Vyadi Vinashanam. But then the last line is Shira, we're going to hold it on our Shira, and we're going to hold it. Taken and whatever left we're going to put on our head. And a Ragmarg, time is the servant of the devotees. And disease and untimely death, we live or die, we're serving Krishna. And all is auspicious. So Radha Krishna Padodakam, that water from the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, Prema Bhakti Damuda, this gives Prema Bhakti, Raja Prema. Bhakti Bharina Bhai Pitva, by drinking this, my bhakti becomes bharena, bhakti bharena bhai pitva. It becomes very heavy, plump, thick, condensed, laden. So these drops make us heavy. These few drops, so they're transcendental. They're not. It's not yogurt. So this, the Lord, the bathe in Radhakund at night. It's not these laws about boots and praise, they don't apply because this is Radha Charanamrita. Radhakund is Radha Charanamrita and Shamakund is Sham Charanamrita. In fact, the Brijvasis, which we've repeatedly stated, they don't see this place, Radhakund, as Radhakund. Of course, Shamakund they don't really even think about. But Radhakund, and they don't even say this is Radhakund, they say this is Radharani. This is Radharani. I'm bathing in Radharani. I took darshan of Radharani. I'm doing Radharani Prikama. This is a very unique viewpoint. This is their rag, their intense attachment. Not everyone, but most. The Vaishnavas at Radhakund, they see... I remember once, I told this a few times, but it bears repetition. There's one Brahmin that has a taxi company. He drives the car himself, and... He drove us to Vrindavan. And we were getting out to Sivanki Vihari because our work was near there. I said, why don't you come with me and see Bunki Vihari Darshan? Very beautiful Darshan. He said, no, I've already had Darshan of Radharani. before we left Radhakund. I said, Sakshat Darshan. You had Sakshat Darshan of Radharani? I said, you had Darshan of Radharani? He said, yes. My car was parked there at Radharani. My car was parked at Radharani. I said, oh, what do you mean Radharani? I said, you mean Radhakund? I mean the water? Yeah, Radharani. So for the Brijvasis, Radhakund is Radharani. So whether you bathe at night, midnight, or any time, it's transcendental. So Lord Chaitanya is bathing at midnight every night during this Mayapur Leela. There's no infraction of rules. That's their Leela. And this, what a wonderful way to end Kirtan. I don't know, maybe we can institute that here, run down to the ocean at midnight and have a Kanda Kirtan, Nirjal Dikadasi, a Kanda Kirtan, and sunrise, jump in the ocean. It's a little bit spontaneous. E lila dekite manushchera shakti noi. Sabe deki devagan sangope tatai. Human beings have no power to see these pastimes. E lila dekite manush shakti noi. They don't have the shakti. But the demigods secretly watch them. Sangope. Devagan sangope. Subdeki. Sangope means with complete secrecy. Sarvagane Gorachandra Gangasnanakari Kule Uti Uchakari Bhale Hari Hari. After taking bath in Ganga, Gorachandra and his associates came out of the water and loudly chanted the names of Hari Hari. Sabare Dilena Mala Prasara Chandan Vidaya Haila Sabe Karite Bhojan. Thereafter, Mahaprabhu gave everyone garlands and sandalwood paste that had been offered to the Thakurji. Then they took leave and went to eat. Well, this is the program. This is the kirtan, bath, and prasad. This is actually cultured gentlemen or gentle ladies. They usually bathe before they eat because this is the it balances all the doshas of the body and enhances the digestion power. And it's clean and sattvic and healthy. And it's eating of prasadam is actually puja. It's not devouring the foodstuffs or serving the foodstuffs. So this is the idea that I'm going to do puja now, so I should be clean, relaxed, pure-minded. Not that we just grab a bite to eat, as they say. Grab a bite. That's a funny phrase. American slang sounds so ridiculous. Grab a bite to eat. I don't know if you've ever heard that term, but it means to honor some of the Lord's sacred food remnants. Excuse me, I am going to honor the Lord's sacred remnants. So this is a nice practice. So the devotees are really, unknowingly, they're engaged in kirtan and they're all perspiring. So now they take bath, fresh cloth. Now what next? Eat. Honor prasadam. So there's a lot of logic. Lord Chaitanya's lila is not illogical. It's quite logical and reasonable. And what a way to enter the arena of sacrifice. They're decked out. So refreshing. You imagine being a 3 or 4 hour kirtan, taking midnight bath in the Ganga, splashing water on all your friends and laughing and joking, coming out, changing fresh cloth. Then Lord Chaitanya comes and puts sandalwood paste on everyone's forehead, which is Narayan Prasad from Srivas Thakur's deity. Then he puts fresh flower garlands in everyone's neck and says, come on everyone, let's go and take prasad. What a beautiful, you know, expression of beauty and charm and sweetness and love. And this is what everyone's looking for. Beauty, charm, sweetness and love. And this is the dealings of the spiritual world. And we should import that. We should all be engaged in export and import business. Import these qualities and export lust, anger, and greed. It's a good... good business. That's our business. Well, what is your business? I'm minding my own business. My business, I deal with exports, imports.
That's true.
Yes, I'm exporting lust, anger, and greed. Would you like to buy some? No, I have quite a good stock. I have quite a good supply in my warehouse. I'm trying to clear out my warehouse, but it seems endless. And then we're importing all these rare and exotic qualities from the spiritual world. You know, tolerance and gratitude and appreciation and love and respect. We're importing these very rare qualities. A high price. We're paying a high price for these qualities. Sarva dharman prityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Surrender is a costly practice. And you have to pay. You have to pay repeatedly
to purchase these transcendental qualities.
These pastimes are extremely inviting. When we read this, we think, well, where's my garland? Where's my sandalwood paste? Where's my mahaprasada? I want to be there. The whole idea is to create icha. The purpose of knowledge is to create, there's vidya, then icha, then cheshtita, activity. So the purpose of collecting knowledge or hearing is to create desire. You can't desire something you never heard about. Think about that. Can you desire something you never heard about? Impossible. So to hear about these dealings and these exchanges, this is real. This is the reality. Love, loving exchanges with the devotees.
So now, Jagai Madai Samarapilas, Jagai Madai Samarapilas Sabastane Apana Galara Mala Dila Duijane.
Mahaprabhu entrusted Jagai Madai to the devotees and then offered his own garlands to Jagai Madai. Of course, this title, this chapter 13, is the deliverance of Jagai Madai. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, previous to all this and previous classes, he's accepted them and accepted their sins. And when he accepted all their sins, they were so voluminous and so heavy that for a moment, Lord Chaitanya's body turned completely black. Because usually sin is equated with the color, if it's not really a color, but with a shade of black. And everyone could see that he was black. But Advaitacharya, being a pundit that he is, and quite a humorous personality, he said, "Oh, my Lord Gaurachandra, now I'm seeing you as Gokula Chandra." Oh, my Lord Gaurachandra, this feature. And it wasn't that he was showing Vamshidari or holding Vansuri. He was in his Gauranga roop and not showing his Krishna roop. It was Gauranga roop, but he's actually turned black. Not that he was exhibiting Gokula Chandra form, but because he had to show everyone and to show Jagai Madai that I, aham, tvam, sarva, Papebhyo, I, Bhagavan, Gauranga, and Krishna, I take all your sins. Don't worry. Masucha. And so he did that. Everyone's, oh. And everyone was thinking, oh, Lord Chaitanya has taken on all these sins. This is terrible. Our poor Lord. And Vaitacharya is just laughing. Oh, Gaurachandra, you're appearing. Oh, you're so black. You're so black. You look like Gokula Chandra. The beautiful moon rising over Gokul, Krishna. So now, and then after that, if that wasn't enough, because it's one thing to free someone from all their sins, or to say, for example, someone's poverty stricken, they're daridra, they don't have any money or finances, and you're very wealthy, so then you go and you give them, here's 5 crores, and take care of your life. So, okay, their money problems are certainly solved if you donate them 5 crores. So that's one level of exchange or acceptance or helping someone or showing your love for someone. But it's another thing to go and give them 5 crores of rupees to solve their problems. And that's another thing, say, look, you take all this money and deal with all your problems, and you come and live with me. You come and live with me in my house, and live with me. And that's full acceptance. It's like making the beggar becomes part of you. It's one thing to give money to a beggar, even enough money to take care of the rest of his life. But it's another thing to make the beggar part of your family. Make him a family member. That's a big thing. So Jagai Mata, not only were they liberated, delivered from their sins, and rightly adjusted in the Brahminical platform, which they started from, as Jagannanda, Madhavananda. But Lord Chaitanya said, bring them into Shiva Sangam. Full acceptance to the inner circle, that this group in the Shiva Sangam, we're called Antaranga Bhaktas. They're Antaranga. There are also many Vaishnavas outside the gate that were not allowed in. It's not that they're all Pashandis outside and Shaktas. There were so many Shaktas and Pashandis and Gnostics outside the gate that were casting aspersions and criticizing. Oh, you're all drunk in there. You're getting drunk and have a bunch of women inside Srivasa's house. That's why you lock the gate and keep us out. But there were many Vaishnavas there also. But they didn't have the Adhikar. They didn't understand the identity of Lord Chaitanya. They thought, I'm a pundit, he's a pundit. They're having Nagar Kirtan, they're having Akanda Kirtan there. Why can't we come in? But they didn't have the Adhikar. They were not Antaranga Bhaktas. So now Lord Chaitanya is accepting Jagai and Madai. Yes, now you come in the inner circle. Bring them into Shiva Sangam. And they danced together. And Lord Chaitanya, when they were dancing, we read earlier, they were dancing and everyone forgot about their identities, high and low. And the Lord, everyone was bouncing into each other. It was like a transcendental break dance. There was slam dance, whatever they call it. They throw, I don't know if they do that anymore, but they used to throw each other together. So they were just, it said they were, the Lord, no one knew who was bouncing off of who. That was the verse. Wonder why, how are you? Because they're intoxicated, transcendental intoxication with the holy name. Jagai was bumping into Nittai and Advaita and all these high class gurus and brahmins and acharyas, pure from their birth. And these were former drunks, derelicts, dacoits, gundas, rogues. Now they're embracing God and his associates. So such intimacy was being exchanged, all by the mercy of Mahaprabhu. So now it's come to the point, well, the party's over, at least temporarily. And so the Lord is entrusting them to their devotees. Then he offers his own garlands. He sabalila rakabu avadina hai avirbhava tirobhava matra vedekai. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, although the Vedas describe their appearance and disappearance, these pastimes have no beginning and no end. So we discussed these terms before in Mayapur when we had classes there a month ago. Avirbhav and Tirobhav. That these pastimes, it seems that this pastime is concluded. We're coming to the conclusion of this chapter 13 and this deliverance of Jagai Madai. This pastime is going on eternally. It's so, now it appears that it's Tirobhav. It's about to disappear or wind up, this pastime. But if there's winding up, there's also unwinding. So there's avirbhav, there's appearance. Just like guru. We say guru avirbhav, guru tirabhav. That means the guru is always existing. The existence feature is always there. Guru is ever existing. Bhav. Tiro avir. Avir is the apparent manifestation. And tiro is the apparent disappearance. It's only apparent, it seems that way. As that poem is there, I suppose, is a translation of some Bengali by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die. They're living in sound. So the Guru Vani, Vaishnava Vani, is eternal. It's Sat. Sat Vani. It's eternal speech. Because they're only, they're, it says that the spiritual master or the preachers of Harikatha or Krishna Katha, they're actually, their discussions are coming from the spiritual world. And their words are mixed with the pollen particles from the lotus feet of Krishna. The Vani, the Harikatha, it's because we say, Tavakatamritam tapta jivanam, Harikatamritam. That the Harikatha the topics of Krishna, they're amritam. But how do they become amritam? They become amritam because of Krishna's contact. And it says that, there's one purport in one verse, it says that their topics are mixed pollen. Pollen means inside of a flower. There's this yellow dust. The yellow dust is called pollen or makarande. There are words that's mixed with that. So when we hear those words, and that's Krishna's feet are eternal. And the dust on his feet, the pollen on his feet is eternal. So the words of the guru are always manifest. If our relationship is always existent, if our relationship, our guru shishya sambandha, our relationship with guru is always existent, then the words are always vibrating in our heart. So there's no real question of avirbhava or tirobhava. There's no question of appearance or disappearance of the guru, because the instructions are always manifesting and vibrating in our heart eternally. Oh, the vapu, the external form, may appear not to be before our eyes. Just like Krishna left Vrindavan, or it seems that way. But on another level, he never leaves Vrindavan. He's always there. So sometimes he's there in his bhava expansion, residing in the kingdom of the gopis' hearts, Vrijbhasi's hearts, and sometimes he's there in his avirbhava expansion. He's before their eyes, they can see. But he's always existent. And that's why they never lose sight of Krishna, and they never forget Krishna, and they're never separated from Krishna. So any questions? Well, I mean, it's a discussion about whether there's some possibility of an aparad being committed, or what is the...
Yes.
And one, the action of waking or not waking, or disturbing or not disturbing, that's one point. But are you actually discussing the ramifications that this activity may be considered an aparad, or what are you trying to...
Disturbing to oneself or to the other person. So, trying to keep peace.
A disturbance is one thing, but aparad is another thing. So that should be clear, the distinction between the two. Because on one level, the bhaktas in a temple, they think that the temple commander is a big disturbance. He goes around every morning in Krishna Manohara temple at 3:30 in the morning with a bell, dong, 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 which means get up, take a bath, and be on time for Mangalarti. So yeah, you are disturbing my happy repose, my peaceful sleep. You're disturbing me. Hey, I was sleeping soundly. So that disturbance is a contribution. It's your welfare. It's jeev jago, go to Mangalarti, get purified. So it's not an offense on a temple commander's part to try to help you go to Krishna. And because his motivation is not that, oh, I can't sleep, so why should you? he's not envious. If there's envy, if our actions are coming from a platform of envy, then we have a problem with aparad as a consideration. He said, well, you know, I had to get up and ring this bell, so damn it, you get up too. So I didn't want to get up. I don't want to be up any more than you do. But so this is, he shouldn't be the temple commander, obviously. He's up because he likes to be up, and he has some ruchi for devotion. So that's why he's given some responsible post, because he's responsible. Means he has devotional qualities, and compassion is one of them, and appreciation of others is another one, and ultimately desire to lovingly serve the Vaishnavas and Krishna. So the Madhyam Adhikari, he's qualified to take a leadership post. But if one's not a Madhyam Adhikari, then it's dangerous. So I think that we have to know the distinction. So we may so-called disturb someone, or they get ruffle their feathers. But if we're only acting, we're clear in our mode of operation, that we're not, there's no aparad on our side. They'll say all these things, you're offending me, and they say all these things, but okay, say whatever you want, but there'll be no offense, because you'll see that you'll get no reaction, because your mentality is not offensive. And he's interpreting your actions being offensive. That's his ignorance, or that's his own envy. But he's doggedly attached to tamagun, or doggedly attached to not being Krishna conscious, and he considers it an insult or an intrusion if you interfere with his independence to be in Maya. But interfering with someone's independence and being Maya is an expression of compassion. And that's what Sankirtan and book distribution is all about. Because their independence is everyone's going to hell. And we interfere with their independence by saying, excuse me, sir, take this book. I don't want this book. No, no, this will help you. This is very important. So some people say like that. They say, why don't you leave people alone? Why don't you leave people alone? Because we worked, you know, Sankirtan in the airport. And it could look like, from external viewpoint, we were harassing people. They use this term. They even say, you're harassing people. Let people go their own way or mind your own business. But our business is to save people from becoming dogs in our next life, and to save people from becoming cockroaches and going to hell. That's important business. Whether you recognize the doctor or not, still we out of our compassion, we want to administer the medicine. Even though you may kick and scream and bite. Some people kick and scream and bite the doctor when he tries to give an injection. Sounds crazy, but people respond like that. But he just gets bitten and kicked and insulted, but he distributes the medicine because he knows it's good. Is he offensive? The doctor's offensive to give you a needle to cure your malaria? Hey, you're offending me. Hey, you rascal. So this is so we have to be clear ourselves, and if our business is taking care of devotees, and then that's minding our own business, because that's been delegated to us to lead others, and leading others means disturbing people. Leading means disturbing, because no one wants to go anywhere. You're a leader, so you have to take someone somewhere, otherwise you're not a leader. But everyone's lazy in Kali Yuga. No one really wants to go anywhere. Everyone just wants to sit down and then eat or sleep or whatever they do when they're sitting down. So leading is a thankless task. So people, 1,000 people say, oh, you offended me, and maybe you didn't offend one person. I ran a temple for 4 years. I know what it's all about. So one has to be clear. And a lot of times, you know, we're operating out of envy, the desire to overlord, to lord over others, to control and to command. But if our operating principle, which is so much emphasized and preached to and exemplified by Pujyapada Srila Radhanath Swami, this idea of this mentality and this heart's expression of servant of the servant of the servant, this is all about devotional love. This is the real meaning of Dadati Pratigrinati, Priti Lakshana. The characteristics of love are these are almost like a nectar devotion. These are some tangible expressions, gifts and giving and exchanging gifts and prasadam. But the real thing is the priti, the priti of the heart, the inner priti. Where is the loving, the position of the heart position? This is the real lakshana. Because once the heart is properly adjusted, then gifts and mind and words and confidence and guyakti and prichati guyakti and all these confidential exchanges, it all goes on very nicely and perfectly according to the time, place, and circumstance. So the most important thing is to adjust the heart to the situation. And a devotee always cross-examines himself. He's always crossing. Like they have in legal court, they have cross-examination. They have the witness and the judge and the plaintiff and the defendant. Okay, we'll do cross-examination. So we should cross-examine ourselves. You know, because we have to